to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities,
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Hey, welcome to Resettle Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And I'm Galuak Shul, and
this is Joby here. And this is so cool.
Good to be back.
It's good to be back. And you know, the thing that I was in the morning, I was like, right, so the thing that we're going to talk today, it's going to be about civic participation.
Yeah, it's all about the things we never knew about when before we even got to New Zealand, and now we are here in New Zealand, so we are trying to know a lot of things, you know, available for us, things we never know.
It's also about, you know, putting yourself at the front of the governance.
Because, yeah.
You know, I happen to be, you know, someone back in the country who was so young, you know, most often that, you know, refugees or refugee backgrounds are, you know, children's, or most often that they spend a lot of time in refugee camps, or, you know, they find so difficulty to understand what's, you know, available to them to a new country. Civic participation is something that, you know, unique for yourself, because it's make the future of the country.
So because the question is, how can the ethnic communities participate in the civic participation?
You
know? How can you get involved?
It's also the question about what is available to them, right?
Yeah.
And it's also about, you know, how you can put yourself to participate in democracy.
In democracy. And and civic participation, it has something to do with the government, the local council, and how you can volunteer your time, to help. Either it can be sport, environment, community, and anything.
It's pretty much participating with your community, or participating with the local council or local government, or with your national government as well. So pretty much even voting could be a civic participation.
Yeah.
And, you know, by statistic, it does say that more than 49 to 50% of the people, they don't participate in, you know, in a national voting. And if that's 50%, it does not participate in a voting, it never represents the democracy of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, another 50%, they can decide what the government wanted to and what they wanted to the government to be, right? And it never be a good representation of entire population in the country. So it's also vital for you to civic participate in. And why? Because you can make relative changes to what the policies were, what is going to impact your life.
And it's all about your voice, you know. It's all about your voice. You're hearing policies by your ballot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, even I was proud about, you know, back in my country, you know, after the civil war in 2009, what happened in Sri Lanka was that, there was ethnic minorities who decided the government for the first time, right? Because, you know, the government, you know, the parties who were, you know, running for the elections, they were divided into three parties, and there was only two parties. It's pretty much the you know, coalition government.
Yeah.
Right? So it's pretty much like in New Zealand, there was three parties became, you know, one government.
Mm-hmm.
And Greens hold a small power, because if Greens leave,
and then it will be like a big gap there,
right? So, and Green decided what their policy to be implemented inside the government itself, and that profited in a level. If you even see New Zealand itself, it does have, you know, Labour who have aims for to facilitate, you know, welfare services and support services for, you know, for New Zealand citizens and New Zealand residents, right? And they are, you know, on the other side, we do have New Zealand First, who put, you know, economy, and, you know, Winston Peters is very good at just targeting on economy and, you know, facilitating businesses and running businesses and helping businesses to grow. And in on the other hand, Green Party, they are very good at just putting the green policy, which is, you know, climate change policies, or the policies that were, you know, better equipable to, you know, facilitate, you know, the policies of, you know, the future policies, even, you know, policies were, you know, refugee policies were even carried out by Labour and Green itself. So it does have the coalition of the coalition government to come together, right? And this is something that's given, you know, as importance of civic participation. Back in my country, that I was so proud, because ethnic minorities, they were seen as just useless votes.
Yeah,
they
said, that's what it is, basically. Yeah,
and they thought that, oh, this is going to be useless votes. And but what happened was those people who are ethnic minorities, they decided the entire government.
Yeah.
They said, oh, we don't want to go with the other guys. We want to go with these guys because
they're
these
deciding
guys,
factor.
Yeah, and they also proposed the rehabilitation process. And they also facilitated the United Nations Resolution 3007 to be implemented in the itself. After the war, right? So, you know, to rehabilitate the country and reconcile the race relationship between the ethnic, you know, minorities and the majority. So it's kind of something, subject that, you know, I felt that is way important as a citizen of a country or, you know, even a resident of the country. You have your right to participate in civic duty, right? Participate in things like voting, things like welfare services or things like even normal stuff like volunteering.
I have been to so many countries, including the United States. And there's one unique thing that New Zealand has that is not shared by many countries, that if you are a permanent resident, you have right to vote. It's not even in America, it's not even in anywhere else. You have to be a citizen first before you decide to participate.
Well, that's
so in New Zealand, you just need to be a permanent resident and then you can
then
vote.
Then you can vote. And, you know, this is something that, you know, I like, to be honest, as a country, it's having to be able to vote is having your power to determine what the government that you want it to be.
So right? New Zealand is like, we don't want you to be a citizen first. As long as you are living here permanently, then you have right to vote, to be voted or to vote.
Yeah, and, you know, and why not? You know, if you are something, someone that you are listening, if you are even a younger person who just turned 18, right, and you just wanted to do, you cast your first vote, just remember civic participation is the one primary thing that you have to do. It's you can change anything.
Yeah, you can change everything. And civic participation is all about, you know, the voting rights. Know your rights.
Yeah, and remember that it's you know, I was recently talking about the suffrage movement in 1893, right, and I was like, oh, you know, woman suffrage is mainly talk topic in the entire history of the world, because New Zealand is one of the first country to allow the woman to vote. And voting is something so powerful to itself. And as ethnic communities, that we does have the responsibility to, you know, tell the government this is working and we like that policy and we don't like that policy. You know, and even remember that even local council, if they're coming with a, you know, or strategy or coming with a plan, even, you know, for COVID, they do have their plan for their, you know, Eastern Transport Development Plan. So they do have a plan to develop the Eastern Transport System. So they propose the plan and they ask people to vote, right? And we still see less people who are being there just voting just because they are not participating, especially younger people telling them that this is not working or this is working, and, you know, and also being able to show is that, you know, this kind of a thing that would be better, because I do see the importance of ethnic communities having different perspective to it. So I differently think compared to someone who was from the other ethnicity.
Yeah.
And someone from other ethnicity, they might, you know, think in the other way compared to that. It's pretty much a story about how, you know, the, in Amazon, they have a tribal people who only have 1 to 5 as the numbers compared to 1 to 9 as the numbers. So they do have a different system of calculating compared to what our mathematical calculations are.
What do? They calculate backward?
They might calculate just by saying 1 is 2 to them. It might not be, you know, it might be two things and might be one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they might be having no odd numbers. They might have all the even numbers. They might say 2 coins or 2 beans might be 1 for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a different system, but different thinking as well.
And also, you know, in America, in those days, you know, in those days in America where the black people had never had that right to vote. And when they were given that, they have to vote. And then their votes, like 3 of them, will be counted as 1 vote.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Because, you know, this civil rights movement, it was progressive. You know, it changed a lot of things.
Yeah, and the black
race. It was like 3 votes for the black. It will be counted as 1 vote. So if you don't, if no 3, and then it's like 0.
Does it mean the three people are equal? I was like, what?
It's like you don't even exist.
Yeah, you know, you know, you
three
have
people
no
make one person.
You know, that's even true.
So this is as humanity. This is how far we came. You know,
and it's still happening.
It's a long journey.
It's still happening though, because you see that in China that they have a rule for, you know, a family only to have. It's kind of that if you are two, that you only have two children.
Yeah,
right. It's kind of a prologue that they have, like a proverb.
This one child
2-4-2
policy thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, two child policy for one, you know, two people. It's like you have two children for two people.
At least they change.
But what happened is they found out recently that there was people who even given birth to children, but they never registered to, you know, the polling system.
But how would they get the birth certificates?
They didn't be into the hospital.
How would they get the birth certificates?
Because they don't have birth certificates. They're called as, you know, no-name people. Right, because they don't have a name, or they don't have a birth certificate, or they don't have an ID.
They can put one.
Yeah, they can put any number if they want. Yeah, they might have sister's name. No, be honest. You know, even I go in or my sister go in, if you have same name, right? It still doesn't matter. Yeah, you know, as long as you know that you might look like same, right? So people just think, oh, this is the one person instead of two people, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of a twin thingy that you can play. And they just had found out there was 1 million people who are, you know, under having not registered to the system of the government, and they are not registered, and they don't even post, you know, birth certificate, and they don't even not being able to study at schools, or not being able to go to universities, and not being able to do anything, because they are the children they born as, you know, they are third children of the family. Mm-hmm. So they are not registering to the system itself. So it kind of a thing that affected to in the modern world as well. We could see that how civic participation was being affected, because that 1 million could have changed the Chinese government. They would have literally 1 million votes would have changed, you know, the government here.
Well, they don't care about population anyway. They got 1.something billion population.
So population.
They want to press down the population.
Yeah, and they tried harder, but realistic. It's already out of the hand, right? They tried so hard. And they also bring the policy, you know, family planning policy, but it never worked out in a way, right? So the thing about, you know, importance of civic participation, just remember that you have the right to vote, and
you have the right to vote. You have the right to vote, and your vote will be counted, and your vote is very safe. And it's all about knowing your rights, you know. Don't have this mentality that your vote will not make a difference. Even one vote makes a lot of difference. It doesn't matter which party you're going to vote for, but vote, you know.
Yeah,
because it's your civil right.
Yeah, it's also being a component for, you know, democratic decision-making process, because you know that even New Zealand have a MMI system, right? The multiple voting system, that, you know, that you could vote for, you know, either the party vote and also vote for individual people, right? So it does not mean that you have to vote for the same party, for the same person. We can vote for, you know, different party for different people.
And it's not all about, you know, voting for the prime minister. You can vote for your local board,
Remember, if you're even voting there, just take a snap picture of your ward.
Yeah.
When you get to be in a trouble or in a problem, just go to your MP and just say, see, I vote for you. I have the right to ask you the question. Right? So,
when I first came to this country, and then I moved into, I went to see my local MP. And then I just walk in. They say, do you have an appointment? I say, no, I don't have an appointment, but I want to see the MP.
He said,
okay, come in.
Yeah.
And say, I'm the MP. And say, okay, what do you want? I say, no, I'm new here. I'm just reporting yourself. If you don't want me, I can move to another location.
Or you can say, can I have a coffee, please?
Out of this great work the MP are doing, you know, they're human beings.
Yeah, they're human beings.
And
well,
they're very friendly, you know, and they can listen to you.
Yeah.
And I went to so many MPs, you know, looking for the help, you know, because we work with the community. Some of them, they
need
support letters and all of that. And when I go to the MP, well, sure, I will do it.
MPs also humans, and they do, you know, work in a time, and they're also being accountable to the people as well, right? They should be reminded as well. You know, if you don't walk in, and they would just say, "All right, what my job here? Just sitting there."
Yeah.
And you know, if you just tell them that this is your real problem, and they would be able to find, you know, a way that you could, you know, resolve things around yourself. It might not be a problem for yourself. It might be a problem for many, right?
I know one great MP in Monroe School area, Honorable Michael Wood.
He's like the man,
you know. He's on top of it all the time. He was the housing, the immigration issues, he just takes it right on. You come to him, he will try his best to help you, because he's a community guy, and most of them are just like that. But if you don't get there, how will they know you?
And
if you like Michael Wood and you want to keep him in the office and you don't vote, who will keep him in the office?
Who will keep him?
Things like that.
Yeah, and it's also a question, because back in my country, you know, we came across a main problem. There was a one village that they had a problem of the water, right? The water was not good, and everyone was drinking, and it became a social norm. And what happened was that no one was telling anyone the water wasn't good. They were like, you know, it's pretty much like, you know, to act like a normal thingy. So if someone was not telling you that water wasn't good, that you just drink the nasty water, but you still pretend it's very nice and sweet, right? And that's what, you know, they literally did. And, you know, after 5 or 6 years, what has happened was it caused deformity in children who were born in the village. And that caused the doctor to be able to speak up. The doctor was from the same village, and he was able to speak up, and he spoke up about, you know, the pollution that was in the water. And that made the biggest thing around every single village around the place, just because it became a movement as well to create, you know, the pollution-free waterways. And I was like, oh, then everyone was started talking about it, because doctors started talking, you know. If one person started talking, or one person able to be there and stand up for the things that are happening to you, and you could be able to advocate for the real problem for the other, right? That's what something that civic participation can contribute.
Yeah, and we have been talking about civic participation. How can you participate, and how can you get involved in the decision-making process in the local boards, in the government, and you know, and all of those. So, I think we will go for a break, and we will come back, and we will play a song, Issa Bagayo. I don't know what that is. From Mali.
It's
I think
Mali?
It's in French.
Oh, it's them. All right.
I don't know.
I like the Mali, yeah, Mali music.
That Mali they, music.
Know, they had the dance last time, you know, that when I been to the event in the ARCC, that they had the dance from the Mali.
Yeah, they had very sweet music.
And, you know, just remember just to listen to the music and heal yourself, and remember the civic participation.
The civic part.
Yeah, and participate even at the music.
Stay tuned, we'll come back.
Stay tuned, we will come back.
Mama le ke boroba kuma chama mama.
Welcome back to Rasa Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. I'm Galwak Shul, and Yob is here, and also we are joined by Izzy.
Yeah, Izzy, what has happened, man?
why you come late, man? On holiday?
New contract.
$1 million contract.
He's acting, though, so, you know, he's just been...
Yeah. Oh, it's 1.5 a year.
Oh, damn.
Oh, man.
I don't want to.
So you replace this guy, Sean Johnson?
I think so. Yeah, so the police stopped me. I don't know why, but yeah.
Did you run away?
I tried.
That's not good. You shouldn't do that.
I was going 75 on a 50 zone.
Oh, no. Why did you do that, man?
Well, I don't know. I'm just driving, so that's not good. You guys were waiting for me anyway, so like.
Hey, if you are listening, that's the worst driver we have. Huh? don't copy him.
Yeah, you know,
it's not good.
That's also kind of good civic participation as well. You know, if the police stuff, you know, you're able to be there and just talk to them, and also being able to, you know, look for your speed signs and also reducing your speed is very important. It's also part of your civic participation, right? And we're talking about civic participation. You are listening to the Resale Radio, and it's produced by ARCC.
Yeah,
and
in ARCC, you know, the good thing about ARCC is not one community. We have all these beautiful 22 communities from every continent. I think we have all the 7 continents now, maybe 6 continents.
Oh, damn.
Because we have Africa continent, and we have Asia. And we have Europe too.
Yeah, even we do, you know, have Colombian
and
as well.
And we have South American.
South American as well. So it's pretty much just combination of all the communities as well.
Yeah, it's
having
all the communities.
Different ethnic communities is, you know, it's give a platform for them to be able to civic participate.
Yeah.
ARCC also can be, you know, also be a tool as a civic participation model and also policy
advising. Yeah, and always the motto is the voice, the participation. You know, and this is what we are talking about today, because integration, there's no integration in the view of the resettlement community. There's no integration without participation.
There's no representation without participation.
Yeah.
You cannot tell the government that this is working or this is not working, especially for younger people. If you cannot tell them that this is not going to work for us and this never worked for us, you cannot tell them if you don't participate with them or be on board with them, right? So just be able to participate or be able to, you know, be there or vote yourself or, you know, or just telling yourself or being able to express your voice is very important.
Yeah, ARCC is always an advocate agency for on behalf of former refugees. It's saying, you know, it's about the voice and the participation. And here, there's room for participation. But it's about playing your part, too.
Yeah. And I think that even itself that, you know, the question of civic participation is how it can be more relevant for younger people as well, right? Why? Because younger generation is more digitalized. We don't read books anymore, right? Be honest.
Carried away by technology.
Yeah, carried away by
technology. That's not good.
So we do have AR, VR, all the technologies.
There should be some sort of arrangement to be made.
Yeah, so the question is that how civic participation can be, you know, available to the next generation or can be available in a digital platform. Why? Because most question is, right, we do vote. The question is how we can vote online. Right.
Okay, before we get online, it's good to know what is your right.
Yeah, it's good to know that what is your right. So what does to participate in, you know, in civic society, and what is your right?
It start with your local board, you know, local council. Go to the community center, ask about the local council, you know, they get voted, and do you know them, and what do they do for the community? So things like that. You go to gym every day. You don't know who is providing that gym. Yeah. And then you go there every day, work out, come back without even knowing who is, you know, giving it to you.
Yeah, and yeah. I even, because, you know, that one time I was in Hovik, I'm from like Hovik, right, in East Auckland. And we just had one time they had a Donald, his name is Donald, it's kind of a, you know, he had a name pretty much similar to Donald Trump. it's kind of a name that they had. And he was elected for the local government now, right, for Hovik area. And, you know, he had a very furious name. And people voted for him because of the name.
But does he talk like Donald Trump?
No, you don't talk like
Donald Trump. I would not vote.
People voted just because he had the name, the Donald.
Oh, man.
Right, so they were like, oh, this guy had the name. They just voted for him, right?
Yeah, and also the civic participation is not all about the voting. You know, also census.
Yeah.
Be the part of population.
Yeah, it's being part of population. And so telling, you know, the government.
Don't do it the way we do it back home where you even include the chickens and all of those. All the animals. They are not part of the population, man.
Do they have census for animals here?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. No idea. Right, but back in our country, we do have, you know, the census for animals.
Yeah, but if you own animals, I think there should be some sort of record. So they will know from there.
So that's...
Yeah,
they have census for it.
Yeah. But if you count your children, don't include your dogs and everything.
Yeah,
so they're not part of the population.
Cats and dogs are their kids as well.
And do you know? I think the census. It was when? What, last year or this year? I don't know.
It was last year.
I think it was last year.
A census that was taken out for 2000. I think
when are the results going to be released? In December?
I don't know when the risk is going to be.
So now we are at 4.5 million, right?
Yeah. So we are like very close to 4.5 and above.
When I came, it was like 4. It was just 4.
It was like 4.4.
And maybe, like, oh, this country is so small.
Maybe it's like one suburb in China.
And we still does not populate that much the urban areas yet. It's just only Auckland is so populated.
Auckland
has like 2....
Yes, they have like more than...
Half of the population.
Like 50% of the population lives in Auckland.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Oh, that's good.
So,
yeah, we're good.
We need a capital, not Wellington, you know what I'm saying?
No, we don't need a capital here. Capital has a lot of headache, man.
See, right now, South Auckland is about to be the like, bigger city, you know what I'm saying? Like, in Mangere, they just... building
no,
all the roads.
No, we are cool in Auckland. You know, if you go outside Auckland, they need to come back. They need to come to Auckland. So yeah. We are good.
Yeah,
we have all the jobs here.
And
so
you know,
the rents gonna go higher and higher.
Yeah, our wages will go up too.
Yeah, and,
don't worry. Things will take care of themselves.
This is why important to participate in policy making. Because see, the wider policies that cover employment or education or opportunities, even transport plan in the local government, yeah. Or even planning for to build a house or housing plans or housing Ministry of Housing, right? They also have their own policy making.
Yeah.
Right. All these policies are. You can be able to influence them.
If there is a policy that you don't like, how can you change it? You change it through, getting involved.
Yeah, involved and being able to participate and giving your voice for it. Because every policy, when they go up, they've always been voted by the people as well. If you do say that this policy does not, relate to yourself, you can go and vote for it and tell them that this policy does not work for me.
Hey, last week and this week is all about Brexit. Brexit, Brexit, Brexit.
Yeah, I happen to see that there.
Yeah, it's a lot of histories out there. And you know the problem? When they voted for it.
Yeah, but
the young people. Yeah, when there was voting thing, and the young people did not even participate.
They didn't even participate
in the clubs. And the next day were like, what is happening? We're leaving EU. Why?
Why?
Because you did not even vote.
And the worst thing about Brexit is because every single country in European continent now, they have their own immigration policy. It also restricts refugee migration as well, because when EU as European Union was together, they had the same immigration policy and they don't restrict each other.
Yeah.
Right now Hungary says and Greece is pretty much becoming restricted to refugees. So the people who are from Syria or the other area, they are trying to move to the country and they cannot move.
Yeah, but the problem is people did not even take it seriously when they were talking about Brexit. Yeah. And now the decision is made by those who voted, and then you are trying, no, we cannot leave EU. But you did not even say anything when people were voting, This is... not right.
And this is also it also have plus and minus forward with it. One of the plus things that they were talking about is increasing in employment, but one of the negative thing is most of the employments were covered by people from the other countries, because there was a lot of restaurants that they had employed people from Hungary or the Scandinavian countries. And if you do not have those people who are participating or being able to work there, because the work visa problem, because you have to get a visa before EU was there, they didn't have the chance to go and get a visa, or they don't need to go and get a work visa to work in UK or in London, right? So pretty much that they don't have the choice and they don't need to do that. And right now that they had to do it, and most of them are leaving the country just because they can't have a work visa or they can't be able to work.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's what happens when you don't say anything.
Yeah, and don't participate in your policy decisions or any decisions based on your local government.
Back home, in Sudan, Isa might know about this. When it comes to election time, and you go to the voting booth, when you pass by about 7 or 8 military tanks,
oh damn!
To cast your vote,
to cast your vote,
and each tank you pass, all eyes on you, and when you get there, you know which box you're going to tick. So nobody will tell you why.
No why, yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to come back.
They might put a poster on the front of you just with the arm gun and say, just cast your vote.
No, the incumbent will be the first one, the rest will be put aside.
Oh, damn.
The problem is voting. It doesn't matter who wants, the government is too expensive.
It's still. Your vote doesn't matter anyway.
Omar Bashir stayed there for how many years?
Since 1989. See, so since June 30th, 1989.
So 29 years.
29
and he's not the oldest one, Museveni, since 1985. 85 or 86, something like that.
This is crazy.
This is crazy. And we just got rid of the old man Mugabe too.
This is so crazy.
Yeah, so where is the voting right then?
So they have to, like,
you vote yes or no, it's all the same.
So the new president can take over.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Military coups. We don't need that. We are in a Western democracy, so don't come with that mindset.
Yeah, just don't worry.
Free. You know, if you don't like the current prime minister, it's up to you. You can vote no.
Yeah.
If you like, you can, you know, confirm her to.
Yeah, and have your say as well, because, you know, some people they've complained about the petrol prices, right? You know, the regional petrol tax, fuel tax. Ask them, the first question is, have you voted for the
regional fuel tax? Because they were going from communities. Collecting views.
They're collecting the vote before they put the policy up.
And people were like, oh, I don't drive anyway, so why do I vote? And now you turn 18 and you want to get your own car. And now the gas is like, you know, jack up the prices.
It's getting low, you know. Today I filled my car with like 210.
210?
Yeah.
Oh, this.
210, I was like, wow.
It's
when I was with you, I feel like
it was like
30. Yeah, 220 something over there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that, you know, you could do as a civic participation.
Yeah.
Just have your say.
Yeah. Let's have a break and then we will come back. We have Saban from Serbia. Saban. Saban is like, Saban in Arabic is like Shaban, I'm full.
Oh, yeah, I'm full, yeah.
So we will come back, stay tuned.
Oh, Patsuba, so they manda chai muka, so that's the way, that's the way. se demanda cielo, guardate me, la concia.
Oh, vai, 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 vai,
vai, vai, vai.
Yes, so you're listening to the Resettle Radio and it's 104.6 Planet FM, and we're just talking about civic participation, right? So it's so cool that we catch up with, you know, how, ask yourself, how, why it is important to vote and voting is the primary civic participation, and also having your say for public policies. We also talk about, you know, the Auckland region of your tax.
Just go to your local board, why we don't have a swimming pool. Next election out.
Yeah, just ask them.
It's start from there. You know?
You know, it's also a realistic problem for, you know, having less swimming pools, because we last time I was doing urban planning, and I found out that most South Auckland have a very less parks compared to, you know, all other regions, right? And we talked about how that's not contributing their themselves to, you know, collaborate with each other or spending time with each other or having a relaxed time in a park, right? It's very important to have a park in your place if you happen to are populating areas, especially in South Auckland. You just need to have your say, right? Just go and just tell them that we need a park. Just put them a park there so that all of our community members can spend time there and talk to each other, right? Having a normal time. It's very important. And also having youth spaces, right? We also advocated, I think it was last year that I was advocating for having youth common spaces, that you just need youth spaces for younger people to just come together and spending normal time and talk to each other, right? And spend time in a very creative way. They can work together and build a better world and, you know, be the future thing. And, you know, also think about the digital platform, because, you know, I love to see the futuristic voting system, because, you know, it was so argued that even, you know, I think that even in India that they talked about that the button system, so they also digital platform, you know, digitalized voting system. So they do have like a board that you can go and click. Instead of, you know, New Zealand is the only country I don't know why they don't digitalize. Yeah, it's
South Sudan, they use a paper ballot, and then they will say, you know, people were fighting here, and then all papers are gone. After you vote.
Yeah. So the government
stays the same. Yeah, so nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
Plus, every tribe want to have their own chance.
Yeah.
That's what happened last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will happen. That incident will happen where the government would lose.
Oh, damn.
So it's strategically they do it that way.
Yeah. And back I think it's pretty similar back in Sri Lanka as well. In Sri Lanka, that they just had, you know, the minority power, because, you know, minorities, someone is deciding the government, because you might hear about the constitutional crisis back in Sri Lanka, so that they don't even know who is the prime minister now, right? So there was no prime minister. You know, two people are fighting up saying, I'm the prime minister, and the other guy say, I'm the prime minister. And then they go to the parliament, argue, but, you know, act like a prime minister.
Just like they did. And then it's gone. There's no prime minister.
Right, sir. Yeah, and the country went on the problem, because it's also the war between other countries as well. We do see the war between other countries, because China wanted to influence the you know, the one that we said I'm the prime minister, and the old one who was appointed as the prime minister, he was supported by India. So that president was suspected.
And then as a citizen, you have no voice.
Yeah, and, you know, citizens, you have no voice. But the thing is, minority have the voice.
Just come
now
to New Zealand. But how you get here, that's your own business.
But, you know, the minority had the voice now. So they kind of, like, can influence the government. So, you know, back in the country, our country people were demonstrating, especially during the Heroes Day. We do have our National Heroes Day for the rebellion. So the people who have committed their life, we had a, you know, November 27th, we had a memorial for National Heroes Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that during the time, it's people came together and they also pushing their politician, right? To say that this has been a long time after 2009. It has been already 10 years now. Mm. And after our civil war being ended, right, the last civil war was ended in 2009. And they are right now pushing them. Over these 10 years, the government wasn't changing, right? Because they put the government in the power. After they took the power, they wasn't doing anything to the eastern or, you know, to the north. Right, to the old minority regions. They're not doing anything to them. So they're pretty much telling them that we won't vote for you for next election if you don't show us anything. Right?
Okay.
That's going to be a determining point because they are already fighting. Right? So the both parties in the majority, they were fighting. So they're never going to form a government without a minority there.
And then the guns keep on coming.
Yeah, and it's pretty much... pretty much going to be the problem between each other. You know that there was an ad they put it up for the chili powder because it was used in the parliament to fight.
And so, anyway, when you come to New Zealand, you have right to change policies
and
through voting.
And you have right to say what, you know.
You have you right to say no. You have right to question things. You know, don't... Don't say when they are after you, wherever you come from, and they are still doing it in New Zealand. No, they don't do it like that. So in New Zealand, you have the right, you know, to know your rights.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, just making sure that things are going in a way that's contributed to the community rather than it's more focused on business.
Yeah.
You know, corporate, you know, or mindset or business mindset is always there. And if you don't say this is not working or this is not representing for your community, it's just going to be, you know, we don't want government running like a business, right?
Yeah, no.
Just be honest. Government need to be a government, not just a
government
business.
For the people.
Yeah, and it's kind of a change in, you know, the way the democracy works. It's ideally telling you that, you know, it's also yourself as the point in a civic participation or civic engagement, right? As a first down citizen of the country, is your responsibility to, you know, push down the government by saying, I'm going to replace you. I'm going to make sure that you don't come to the government if you don't do anything. So
and also, do you know, in this country, you have a civic duty. You can be called to be to participate in at a jury.
Yeah, the civic duty. I received the letter last year to be on the jury. And
To be on the jury. It's something cool.
Yeah, and it's also being able to, you know...
And they pay you, I think they pay you about $60 a day.
Yeah, damn, you know, that's a good money.
that's a good money, but it's a civic duty, you know, it's your duty as a good citizen.
Yeah, and it's also go with your, you know, citizenship. If you are, you know, resettled community, you're mostly having PR.
Yeah.
If you're applying for your citizenship with your form, it does ask that what are the civic duties that you performed. One of it is if you were participating in a jury, you are more likely to be recommended to get citizenship.
And so you are fulfilling your duty as a good citizen of the country. Being a good citizen, it does not mean that you naturalize yourself to be a New Zealander. No, it's like you live here and then you do the right thing and then that's what the good citizenship means.
Yeah, even, you know, community engagement, you know, even doing volunteering, because, you know, you do have ARCC that you can talk to if you wanted to volunteer your time, if you have, you know...
We have a lot of community organizations out there. You just go and help. Anything you can help, even if it's one hour, that's a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
And there's still a lot. And there is, you know, a driving program that they have.
Yeah.
You could just volunteer your time to, you know, help
people. As long as you don't drive like Easy, who drove like...
It just happened at some time, but, you know, just be careful, you know, to the rush hour.
Okay, we will come back and let's play this music, Ivo Rapasov.
Online is Result Radio and is 104.6 Planet FM. And
brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM. So we are talking about civic participation.
And your civic duty, right?
And your civic duty.
And it's so true, yes. You know, it's, we got Izzy here.
What's up?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
The system cut you off, man. Yeah, system want to shut
technology.
You off.
Technology.
You know, because I don't go looking at technology a lot. You know, and we were dreaming, you know, I was, you know, even dreaming about how it could be for a futuristic voting system for civic participation, how the civic participation in the future can be. Maybe we have a VR glasses, we can go to the parliament and look at them. Look
maybe
at the parliament.
It's just normal glasses, you know.
Yeah, you know.
The reading glasses.
Yeah, we can even read. We can even read, you know, the how politician, what their policies and stuff. Yeah. We can even vote on the spot. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right?
So the thing is, if you know, if things are like that, like general elections and like, you know, census.
And local
board elections and how you can give back to the community. Mm. They're all out there. And as a citizen of this country, you have right to get involved. Mm. And as a newcomer too, you know, you come from an environment where you are, you know, are not allowed to say anything, not even to open your mouth. And even if you do so, they will chase you. they will eliminate your life. Family and they will follow you wherever you go, you know. But once you get into New Zealand, you are safe. Say anything you want, as long as you are not harming anyone. You know?
I think
respect the law.
It was one time that my father used to tell me that, you know, because I was like really a child and, you know, I was like in my young ages, and my father and my mother used to talk about that, you know, that when they were in 1999, that they does have a, you know, times that when they people go for voting, they give them a notice, right, telling them that you had to vote to them. Right, kind of a rude notice that they would tell that what would happen if you don't vote for that party. Right, so the same party get elected every single time.
That was the time it happened in Ethiopia. You know, people were called out by force to vote.
Oh damn!
Yeah.
Damn,
and you have to.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the arguments that I had recently with, you know, a politician, that I asked them that why, it's kind of a conversation compared to an argument, but I asked them that why that is the New Zealand voting day is not a national holiday, because I really want them to be as a national holiday so that everyone can, because I was working on a voting day and I couldn't, you know, get out of work for, you know, a simple bit of time because, you know, it's so hard for me to get that work and it's a regular time work and my employer is not letting me off the track so like I can go and vote.
I think there's a room to vote early, right?
I think there's
room for early voting.
Yeah, they do have a early voting room, but the thing is, it might not be available for someone who is working on the Saturday and Sunday.
So that's why you need online voting.
Yeah, so
don't they have online voting in New Zealand?
No, they don't have. They do have special voting, but special votings are for, you know, for those who are outside of New Zealand. But
it's not a long line though. You just pop in any nearest library, then you vote and go.
Yeah, simple. Yeah, you could, but, you know, and I spent a lot.
But if you're kind of a sit-back guy and say, I need my special time, you will never get there.
But, and I like it to be at least a national holiday, you know, just say it's one day break and everyone go and vote for that one day.
And then you get paid.
Yeah, and, you know, you get paid.
Now.
Pretty much.
You can still get paid, yeah.
Yeah, you can get a holiday pay. You know, you can get, you know, a pay for yourself. You can get paid for yourself.
We are talking about civic participation. So if you are one of the resettlement communities, just go and see your local council, local boards, know them. They might even help you for the things you may need, even with immigration issues. I know some of them are really, really good, and some of them are attached to the community. And it's good to know them. It's good to know who is, you know, making some decisions about you.
Yeah,
and you know, when comes election time, it is your turn to make decisions too.
It's important to, you know, have your say as well, because I recently, you know, came across the internal, you know, the internal affairs, right? Because me and my mom was talking about the, you know, the validity of the identity. That we were talking about, you know, how many years the refugee PR was, you know, valid for, right? And what has happened was that, you know, the PR that we had was only valid for a year. Right, and it was, it does say that it's kind of a 2-year expiry date, right? After 2 years is not valid, right? The one that they gave you as a card, right? Not valid more than 2 years.
Yeah.
So if you even go with your passport to a police station or to, you know, a courts or in somewhere, it's really hard for them to recognize this as a New Zealand passport because it's a refugee travel document instead of a passport itself. And we talked about that, you know, we don't have any form of identity compared to, you know, having just a license. The license is, you know, is a primary valid.
So when they ask you, where is your passport? This is my ID.
Yeah, because the thing is, we can't have, you know, we can't have, the travel document is not recognized. See, even my mom traveled to Australia and they stopped at the immigration. Even New Zealand immigration stopped it, right? New Zealand immigration said, oh, it's not valid. And my mom was like, you guys issued. Just you guys saying it, nobody. Right, so just remember to, you know, have your say and telling them that it does work and does not work.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about and that's the good thing about getting involved in the things that are happening and being part of the community and being part of the society. So this marks the end of our discussion in the civic participation. So, I think we will we talk will more, be, talk more.
More, right? We will talk more next time. Yeah, and, you know, just stay tuned with us. Yeah, you know, just go to the ARCC.
Yes, have a good day.
Have a good day as well.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
That was our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetterradio.